This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Good Friday afternoon. Hope you're ready for a big weekend where Grant and Danny will take you up to 6:30. 4.5 hours of fun today on The Fan. We've got a great show planned for you. Logan Paulson at 3. Nobody smarter when it comes to breaking down the play of the Commanders on film. We'll ask him about John Allen and Bobby Wagner coming and going. Ben Standig covers the Commanders for The Athletic. What's next for Washington? He joins us at 5. And John Walton, the voice of the Capitals here on 106.7 The Fan. They've got a game tonight. We'll preview it. Plus, they made a trade today at the deadline. We'll talk to John about that at 6 o'clock. Danny, no time to waste. Let's get right into it.
Saddle up.
John Allen released, or will be released formally when the league year begins, but he was informed of that decision today. You just heard Toby mention it. They'll save $16 million. This is a good soldier who was important in the locker room, real quality player on the D-line, grew up in Virginia, went to high school in the shadow of the practice facility at Stonebridge in Ashburn. He was a fan favorite. But this just makes business sense to save $16 million in cap for a guy who was injured, he didn't have most of last season, whose plays declined over the last couple of years. Feels a little bit like a no-brainer for a regime. They really didn't owe him anything.
Yeah.
They didn't give him these contracts. They didn't draft him. And so it seemed to me like this was going to be happening if they couldn't find a dance partner.
Yeah, this is one of those, you know, enough of these have happened over the years with me following this team very closely as a fan and now getting to sit in this chair where I have a lot more sympathy for guys trying to maximize their values. Because what did he do wrong? Nothing, right? This isn't like, he's a malcontent. We got to cut him. No, this is just now, hey, sorry, the amount we're paying you, you're no longer as useful as that. So we're just going to move on fairly well. No animus. I mean, it's just the nature of the league, right? I mean, I remember when he fell to them in the draft because people were concerned about shoulder issues, right? That was what kept him from going to the top 5, 6, 7, whatever number you want to assign to it. But he fell in the draft. It seemed so, you know, fate was perfect, ended up in Washington, just a really, really good player, only played 5 games as a rookie, but after that was just not a guy that missed time. 16, 15, 16, 17, 16, 16 games per year, until then injuries, of course, claimed most of his season this year. But the problem never really arose. That shoulder issue was never a thing, as far as I can really tell, in terms of impacting his career. A good player, as you said, good citizen, great in the community, did everything right. And it's now kind of a situation where it makes sense for everybody for him to find a fresh start and for the team to free up that cap space.
Yeah, if you're a team that needs D-tackle help, you should definitely call John
Allen.
He
can help you, yeah.
I think he can still play at a formidable level. This is a guy that could go get you 6 sacks next season and pressure the quarterback and, you know, push the pocket a little bit. Interior pass rush is becoming more and more important in this league. We talked about that yesterday. But Washington was prepared for life after Allen. When you pay both him and Daron Payne, it's not likely that both of them get to the end of their contract. And frankly, I would have rather kept Allen if all things were equal over Payne. But Allen was the one you were able to get out of the contract of without penalty. You know, he was the one that you saved the money with because of the way the guaranteed numbers worked on the two contracts. I think Allen might be a better player than Payne at this point, even though he came into the league a year earlier. Payne, since he got paid, my fear has kind of come to fruition where his production has completely fallen off and they need him to elevate his game. But when they drafted Johnny Newton this past spring, you kind of knew this was coming. This day became a, maybe not a formality, but inevitable, whether it was this year or next year, it was coming. John Allen was going to be parting ways with the team. If I was the Detroit Lions, I think that would be a cool fit. You know, the LA Chargers, one of these teams that needs a D tackle, that's a contender. I would call him, I would bring him in, and I'll bet you he has 2, 3, 4 more years left in him, a couple of them at a high level for a contender. But I appreciate what he did.
Yep.
I always enjoyed that he was candid and garrulous in the locker room, and he would speak his mind, and he was not a guy that was going to mince words, particularly after games. He was very, very emotional. We had a great relationship with him on the station.
Mm-hmm.
He came to one of our 106.7 The Fan Live events.
And it was fantastic.
He was on stage, kind of answering all questions from us and from listeners. We had him on the show because at one point he kind of reached out to us through one of our buddies, and he said, look, we don't have enough fans at these games. We got a big game coming up against the Cowboys. I'm going to buy a bunch of tickets. I want you guys to give them away for me. And so we did.
Isn't that awesome?
Like little things like that over the years where I really did fall for John Allen as just one of the good ones that we've dealt with. But this move does not bother me from a business standpoint. $16 million. I know they don't need all the money that they're going to end up having, but you basically just created your Deebo Samuel space,
yep,
essentially. A couple of million off, but close to it.
Right.
You're right back to the cap space that you would have had before that move. So between that and the growth of the cap, they are loaded. They can do whatever they want. And I like that about their situation going into the league year.
Me too. That flexibility is necessary. Because, I keep going back to this. Because of what they've done with their draft picks, and I'm not complaining about it, but it just the reality, they're trying to add talent. They're pulling every lever they can to add talent to this roster because there's so little young talent on it. You may have to do some more Deebo Samueling. You may have to do some more Bobby Wagnering or, you know, a Trey Hendrickson or whatever. You need some flexibility here. And that makes sense to me, honestly, is moving on from Allen. I don't love it because I'm with you. Like, if you're just on a binary, who would you rather keep? Right now, it's Allen over Payne, but one contract allows you to do this, the other doesn't. So, Daron Payne, welcome back. Yay, with open arms. But again, Allen, just a solid to plus really good football player at times, two-time Pro Bowler, had a couple really banner years where he really put it all together and the counting stats kind of went with it. He had a couple years where he had some bad luck, in my opinion, where he was beating his guy an awful lot, was in the backfield creating havoc and only ended up with a handful of sacks. And people are doing the what's wrong, and you and I are going, hold on, not so fast, nothing. He's actually doing a great job, and then he kind of got his flowers with a couple Pro Bowls, accumulating some better sack totals and TFLs and things like that. But just to, as you say, you said it very well, really solid citizen, great player, and a thoughtful guy. And you know, you can't have too many of those.
This is a win, though, of a 17th overall pick. You know, he was a guy that was linked to the top,
yes,
5, 7, 10 at different points. He fell because of this shoulder concern on draft night or whatever it was, this, you know, supposedly debilitating issue that he was having, and there was some question about how it would affect his career. I mean, that's a victory. When,
yep,
you have him, he plays well, you give him another contract, he stays around, he's one of the leaders of your locker room for years. That's a 8-year run. You know, this is one of those like where somebody dies in their 90s or something. When, yeah, it's sad, it stinks, I wish it didn't happen, but he had a good run here, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8 years from your first round pick of being a quality football player. So he is out. Bobby Wagner is not. This broke literally as we got off the air yesterday. I did one of these things where I punched my own palm,
mm-hmm,
mad that it happened probably 2 minutes after I said, we're back tomorrow at 2:00. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Peters, you couldn't have worked a little bit quicker to get your boys a chance
to
react?
You're so handsome. Can't you go faster?
To this one? Bobby Wagner, the 34-year-old linebacker, he will turn 35 before the start of this football season. 1-year deal, so it's very similar to last year when they brought him in for a year and paid him $8+ million. They're going to do the same thing this time around. If he hits some escalators, it could be a $9.5 million season for him. He fell off by 50 tackles from 23 to 24 last year in the same number of games. But he still led Washington with 132 tackles. He finished as a second-team All-Pro again. He finished as a Pro Bowler again. And he proved himself to be one of the more important signings in a long, long time around here in terms of what he meant to the room. I tweeted about this yesterday. I don't remember being so smitten with a player as a dude in a long time as I was with Bobby Wagner last year. He is so authentic and so real as a, I don't have a better word, as a man. You know what I mean? He is a dude's dude. If 10 guys go on a bachelor party, eventually there's like one guy that takes over and is like, all right, we're going to go here, Venmo me the money, he grabs the bill, you know, that kind of guy.
The organizer.
That will always be Bobby Wagner
yeah.
in any group that he is in. And he does it very quietly. He doesn't really look for any kind of credit for it. He was their Walter Payton Man of the Year last year. I just genuinely came to really like this dude in very limited interactions. I mean, I would basically get to chat with him after games in the locker room in Landover. But holds court, super respectful. Believe he won the Good Guy Award this year from the media. Eloquent, sincere, and just, he runs his life. Like, I always talk about being a pro. That's my favorite thing. He's a pro's pro, man. You would think he's the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. The way he dresses, the way he speaks, the way he operates. I like everything about this guy. And the more of these people that are in your building, the better. Full stop. The more Bobby Wagner's in the facility over there, the better the chance you're going to be a good football team. So bringing him back makes a lot of sense. Now, I have some questions, Danny.
Yep.
His foot speed fell off. I think part of the reason they weren't as good at stopping the run last year, some of that is D-tackle and D-line play. But I also don't think sideline to sideline, he's as quick as he once was. He's great coming downhill and making those sure tackles between the tackles. But I don't think it's going to be a strength for him to get outside and go make stops, as you saw on that Saquon Barkley run on the first play of the game.
That's right.
Against the Eagles in the playoffs. So I've got some football questions, but I also can still say this is a no-brainer to keep this dude around.
Yeah, if you're paying $25 million, you go, uh-oh. But again, this is still a very affordable deal for what he brings. There's a lot that he still does well, as evidenced by the fact that he was second-team All-Pro last year. Now, whether you should have been or not, that's not what I'm here to tell you. The fact is, he's in that kind of conversation for middle linebacker, which tells you that, yeah, there may be some things that you'd like, you know, Bobby Wagner 5 years ago. Well, of course, we all would. Everyone would. And I'm sure Bobby Wagner would like that, too.
How do we do that?
Yeah, but you gotta be able to compensate and have something else. You need to be better on the edges, primarily, for me. You need to be better at some of the outside linebacker spots or have that safety walk up and be better there. I think there's a million things that need improving. But knowing that, well, there's one thing that Wagner doesn't do great. Okay, fine. What does he do well? And there's still plenty, as evidenced by the 140 tackles, give or take, last year, 132. It depends on where you look. But still a solid player, smart as all hell, as you said, a leader, one of these culture builder guys, him and Dan Quinn. It's almost like having Quinn on the field and Joe Witt by extension, having Wagner there as kind of the dude that's in charge. I love that both in terms of his mentorship for the defense. Also love it, frankly, that he and Jaden Daniels are buddies. I'm all about that, quite frankly. I think it's awesome. Having a guy that's, while the football season is happening, getting his master's degree from Howard University as he's going through all this just tells you everything you need to know about the guy. Like, put him in charge of something whenever he feels like being done with football. He'll run it really, really well. So, to me, this is one of those no-brainer good signings. Eventually, I want to be out of this business. We talked about this a bunch when it comes to this free agency and this offseason and this class and how they're going to build this team. Eventually, I'd like to not go, I have to bring the 35-year-old declining player back. I'd like to be out of that. They're not there yet. They're not to the point where you've got people waiting in the wings that can take over.
Devoid of young talent.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, we went over this yesterday, but you have a superstar young quarterback in Daniels that makes hopefully everything okay. And you have a really good young corner who probably is going to be kicked inside if they get their way in Mikey Sanders still. There's not really anybody else on the young player list that looks like they project to be a stud or a star as of right now. Hopefully that shifts, and who knows? Maybe Ben Sinnott by the end of next year, we're having a different conversation about, or Luke McCaffrey or Johnny Newton. I think of those guys, Newton really does have a chance to be, I've said this for a couple years now, like a legitimate, formidable, league-wide known defensive tackle. I hope that's the case at that Allen Payne level in their primes. But right now, you can't put them there. And I don't know that they have anybody other than the two guys we just named in that conversation. They're just devoid of it because of the terrible drafts of the last regime. They're in a bad way. So they're kind of, building this thing with the players that are available who, with the exploding cap and teams mm-hmm. keeping their own guys around, generally are going to be a little bit older, which is why they were the oldest playoff team last year. But while Allen was not a surprise at all today, we saw that coming and there had been reports that it was coming. I don't think Wagner re-upping was a surprise either. He said at the end of the year he wanted to be back. They have said every single time they've been asked about him that they would love to have him back. It's why I think there's a real good chance Zach Ertz has a deal in place before the league year opens as well, because they've kind of said similar things about him, and he's even been more, I would say, candid about wanting to be here than Wagner was. But Bobby came here because he wanted to play for Ken Norton, his linebackers coach, Dan Quinn, his head coach, and I didn't think that was going to change. So no surprise, but great to get that done and not have to worry about it.
The only wild card to me was Pete Carroll going to Vegas and maybe trying to do what Washington just did. I want to change the culture. Who's a good culture changer? This unbelievable alpha, gold jacket in his future type super leader. So that was the only thing I was a little bit worried about, but it made sense for him to stay here.
One other note on the one-year deals. Your money goes way faster when you do it that way because there's no pushing money
there's no spreading
the future.
Out. Yep.
If you sign Wagner, just as a example, to a two-year deal worth $19 million, you could have his cap number be 6 this year and 13 next year or something and keep the cap number lower. When you do the one-year deal, it all comes home this year. So if they're going to be in that business, Debo, without extending him, which I don't want them to, you pay him the freight, close to $18 million this year. Wagner's going to be eight plus this year. That's just something to think about as you see them signing one-year deals, that all of that money hits your cap this season, and it's going to disappear a little bit quicker. Finally, we should mention that the Capitals made a trade today. They, with the deadline looming in 45 minutes, I guess are still probably answering calls and talking to teams with the NHL deadline approaching. But Anthony Beauvillier, who played with the Penguins this year, he's bounced all over the place. He's played with the Islanders. I think most people probably know him from New York. But the Canucks, the Blackhawks, the Predators, the Penguins within the last four or so years, he's been traded twice, including 1 year ago today, for a fifth-round pick. The Caps gave up a second-round pick for him. It was very steep. I don't really understand how he's worth a second-round pick, if I'm being honest. But I also don't care that much about that right now because this team's really good. They've got a ton of money on the cap coming up. They're going to be probably more approaching this from a cap and free agency standpoint in the short term here, and they have a chance to win a cup this year. So Beauvillier will come in. He's got 13 goals, 20 points on the year. He's played in 63 games on the third line mostly for Pittsburgh. From what I was told talking to people with the team, they view him as a bottom six player. I think initially maybe on the third line. If Ryan Leonard comes in and he's ready, their prospect from BC, then he'd take over on the third line and either Beauvillier would stay there and someone would be out of luck or maybe if Mangiapane doesn't pick it up, but he's making a lot of money, so I would guess he'd keep getting shots. Or maybe move Beauvillier down to the fourth line, create competition. I guess it's possible he ends up being just an extra piece, which I'm sure people would be furious about because they gave him a second rounder. But still, they're basically, it's a reinforcement and you didn't give anybody from the dressing room up, which is what I've been saying I want because the chemistry is so good with this group.
Yeah, this is a tough tightrope to walk here, right? Because you'd like to improve, you'd like to reinforce, you'd like to add a little bit just to, as the dog days are happening and you've been so out ahead for so long that you want to be able to resharpen some of the iron when it comes to playoff time and everybody's going to be gunning for you. You've been the number one seed forever. It's not like you were in the number one seed on the final day of the season with all this momentum and a scramble. You've been the number one seed since December, and we're sort of just playing out the string, looking at our watch, waiting for the playoffs to start. So you want to add some new blood, but where do they fit in and how? I think is a great challenge for a team that's the expectations are miles high at this point. Second rounder does feel steep for Journeyman Jerry. I saw that and went, ooh, obviously you know more about Beauvillier than I do, and I'm going, who did they steal from the Penguins? And I went, oh, the guy that's been on seven teams in 4 years or whatever the overall numbers are that hadn't been that productive? Interesting. That's all. I just kind of went, oh, that feels a little steep, but I get it.
I am not comparing him to Pierre-Luc Dubois talent-wise or anything like that, but there's a little bit of this feeling like maybe he hasn't been great in the room or he's kind of fallen out of favor and there's more talent there that's been tapped into. And I will just say that the Caps have a wonderful track record.
Track record's very good.
When it comes to bringing guys in and then the best version of them showing up in Washington. And so obviously they'll hope to make that happen here with this move.
But let me finish the quote. Grant says he's better than PLD.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Better player than PLD, send.
Yeah, make sure you put that in bold and italics.
Oh, I should have. I can edit it still.
I need that press release sent out right away.
Yeah, let me edit that.
John Walton, who calls Caps games here on The Fan, will be with us at 6 this evening to discuss the deadline, which comes in 40 minutes. We'll see if Washington does anything else as the best team in the East. Next, though, I want to get into stopping the run. The Commanders were terrible last year at stopping the run. They ranked 30th in yards per game allowed and 28th in yards per play, meaning four teams were worse than Washington. And today they're bringing back their linebacker who's going to be 35 in the middle, who, just laterally speaking, doesn't have the same quickness that he did in the prime of his career, pretty obviously. And they just cut one of their better defensive linemen and a legitimate defensive tackle who helped them against the run. So there's got to be a plan here, but I'm wondering what it is. You're not upgrading at Mike linebacker from a outside zone standpoint, and they could not stop that all year. Think Bijan Robinson, Atlanta, just chewing them up in the first half. Anything outside the tackles. So where do you get better and how do you improve there? The start of that is not getting rid of Allen and not replacing him and doing something up front. Is it improving on the edges? I mean, we can get into that and some other areas, but that's my question to you, Danny, we'll get to next, and to our listeners as well. This team was terrible at stopping the run, and they have gotten older now at Mike linebacker, and they have let one of their premier D tackles walk, released him. 800-636-1067. How do you fix that? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I was pretty confident that we were going to be able to get something worked out. And so it was more so just kind of sitting down and putting our heads together to make something good for both sides. And I was confident that this was going to work out. I just love what we're building here. I love the team. I feel like this is the place. You know, you always want to be in a place where they want you to be here and they accept you. And I think we got unfinished business to do.
Bobby Wagner just minutes ago on a Zoom with the local beat talking about unfinished business for the Commanders after an NFC championship game berth.
Here we go.
What a time to be alive. He is back, and he will be leading this defense out of the tunnel in week one when they try to not only get back to the NFC title game, but try to get to and win a Super Bowl now. And those are their aspirations in the building. I mean, they're going to be talking about that internally. Their work's cut out for them. The schedule's obviously going to be much more difficult. But, Danny, one thing they'll have to do a lot better, not only if they want to win a Super Bowl, but if they want to have a dozen wins again, if they want to be a playoff team again, they are going to have to stop the run in a way that they couldn't last year. To have played as poorly against the run as they did and had the success that they did is like eating fast food every day and not gaining weight. It's not going to work very often. 30th, 138 yards per game allowed on the ground. 28th, 4.8 yards per carry just about given up on the ground. So now, John Allen's gone, your D-tackle, who at times has been very good against the run. And your linebacker, the only area you could really upgrade if Wagner walked, not in terms of overall play, I don't think you would have been able to upgrade from him, but maybe you would have just gone and gotten a speed guy who could get everywhere and 132 tackles becomes 157 or something like that. You've got a year older. You're going to have a 35-year-old Mike linebacker who's going to be really good downhill, you know, in that A-gap area, but probably not get to as much cleaning things up on the outside. So how do they improve and get to a point where they are at least average or a little better than that stopping the run?
What's so nuts about this, just as a quick editorial, is there were games and times where they were actually pretty good at it. That's what made this so frustrating. I mean, if you remember, you know, like Saquon Barkley has 110 yards in the first quarter and 40 the rest of the way on 19 carries, whatever the numbers were. There were games at a time where they were good. In week one, they were good against Tampa. They were good against, now these teams aren't any good, but whether it was Carolina or Cleveland or Tennessee or New Orleans, I'm not saying these are Nebraska in the 90s run offenses, yeah, but still, like, they were good at times. And then at other times, it looked like they had have never seen a running play before and were a disaster.
So that's what bad teams do against the run would be my response.
Yeah.
They're still 28th out of 32 when you line up for 17 games. Every team is good at times because the other team maybe doesn't run the ball well or misses an assignment or whatever it is. Like, the bad teams have those stretches too, as evidenced by the fact that with all those good stretches you mentioned, only four teams were worse.
Yeah, they were still horrendous.
And to that point, when Barkley rips off 100 and a quarter, and then you do a really good job for the last three quarters.
Still didn't do that good a job.
Respectfully, that's a failing grade.
Yeah.
You know?
Overall, sure. So I guess to me, this is I think it's a big part of personnel issue. They're basically running. I mean, they switch and there's personnel shuffling in and out all the time, but this is basically a one gap scheme. And what you really want to do in a one gap scheme is have the guy, a defensive tackle, and then in this case, you know, your four down defensive linemen, penetrate, disrupt, bother. Every once in a while, you might get gashed in the run game because somebody overcommits or the play is flowing a different direction. But if you can win and get upfield, you disrupt and you get teams out of it. They didn't have anybody very often or often enough that could win and get upfield. Allen, at one point in his career, I think, was that guy. Daron Payne in his contract year was that guy. This is not your Tony Siragusa, Gilbert Brown, smart car up front, occupy some blockers, let linebackers flow, keep Ray Lewis's jersey clean so you can go make 175 tackles. That's not how this group operates. So you're vulnerable to a lot of things. Runs outside especially, because I think their edge defending was disastrous in that regard. They just simply didn't have the horses. When Dante Fowler is your down defensive lineman on first down, he's 240 pounds, give or take, right? I mean, you think of a Trey Hendrickson, for example, is 270 pounds. Now, that matters when it comes to being able to bother a tackle, push him into the backfield, maybe be more accountable against the run. They just simply were so bad at the edge, it was like a kid getting tickled, and he could stop one, but then, you know, some other ones are getting through to different spots. They simply couldn't mask everything and all their problems. And I think also they were so terrified of their pass defense that they were willing to sometimes let teams run all over them at the risk of big plays happening in the other direction.
So I don't know about the second part there. You may be right. I'd have to look more into that, and I never really watched it from that perspective to be able to agree with you. I would just say that's probably not what happened, but you might be right. The first part, we will agree, it's almost going to be boring, because I believe that the path has to be through what you do on the edge at defensive end, because that's where they really scuffled last year. And I can't reiterate this enough. I wish I still had these numbers. I had them the week of the Falcons game, and I'm kicking myself for not looking them up again last night, but I will pull them up hopefully, and at some point today I'll throw them out there. But the way that they defended outside zone, and not just specifically that look, but any kind of stretch carries to the outside last year was abysmal. They were the worst in the league for the vast majority of the season. And I keep going back to the team that does it the best, Atlanta with Bijan, and how they just ate their lunch over and over and over again. But you guys know what it looks like. You saw it with Jahmyr Gibbs at times against Detroit, who did whatever he wanted, and thank God they slowed him down by default. Detroit stopped giving him the ball. But I think that's got to be the path. You cannot go get a defensive end who's Dante Fowler, where it's just pass rush speed, and I can't, I'm going to play 60% of snaps. I think Fowler was like 52, 53% last year. But I'm not going to help you against the run. You could have one of those guys. It's got to be probably your third defensive end. You need Dorrance Armstrong, whether he's got to beef up or not, to be healthy, play 15 to 17 games and help you in that area. And then whoever you bring in here, maybe that's Harold Landry. Maybe that's Josh Sweat. Maybe that is Trey Hendrickson, hopefully. They got to be able to stop the run, because it was bad last year, man. And there's ways to get better. You could beef up at D-tackle. They've gone the other direction today. You could get faster at linebacker. They've kind of gone the other direction today. So, okay, well, now you really have to turn up the heat on the other positions. And if that means in the secondary, when you could get a corner, it can't be someone who's awesome in coverage but unwilling on the outside to come downhill. Let's go to Gage in D.C. on the Fan. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? They're going to have a big regression next year.
Why is that?
I'll make this super quick. They lost to the Bucs first week by 17 points. They barely beat the last place Giants by 3. They beat a good team at the time, Bengals, by 5. They killed the Cardinals, yes. They killed the Browns,
Gage, we can't go through the whole schedule here, but what's your larger point?
They are a huge regression. They only beat 3 playoff teams last year. They have lost. I mean, look at their stats.
There's I appreciate
no
you.
Way. I mean, they lost to the Steelers.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, the Steelers were playing really well at that point.
I mean, we're talking about week one. In the playoffs, they beat Detroit and put on a clinic. They beat the Bucs, really good team, both of those on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually gave up a ton to the Eagles. Now, I actually happen to agree with his larger point. I just think last year was kind of a year where a lot of things went well. Not to the same extent of Rivera's first year when at 7-9 they won the division because nobody around them was good. But I remember at the end of that year feeling like this is a bit of a House of Cards thing and the bottom's going to fall out. It's not the same way this time because you have Jaden Daniels. You have the quarterback who, if he's as good as we all think he is right now, then the floor is very, very high. And you're probably still going to be a playoff caliber team. But the schedule's going to get harder. You're not going to surprise anybody. And for those reasons, if no other reason, I think that it's very reasonable to say I'll take the under on their 12 wins.
Yeah, they're playing better teams. That's on paper. Who knows when you play them and if their quarterback's healthy or not or something's gone wrong or right. Who knows? But again, on paper, their schedule's more difficult.
Let's go to Jay in D.C. What's up, buddy?
What's up, you guys? Okay, compliment, right? You guys have the best show on radio. Love you guys. But I feel like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Like, I feel like there's a technical reason why you let John Allen go, but you're not talking about that. You're talking about economics. So as soon as the draft came out, all of you guys, you, rest of the media was saying, okay, they're going to let John Allen go. And then, like it went straight to trading, and it was completely reasonable just to let him go, even though that you say there's never been a bad one-year deal, and he was on a bad one-year deal. He was on a one-year deal. And we can't spend all the money, so why not play him? We need good players, so why let him go? Second, you let Debo come in, give a fifth-round pick, paying him $17 million, that's fine. And then when Christian Kirk gets traded for a seventh and a lower contract for a younger player, then you're like, oh, how does that make any sense? And you're laughing at Houston. Christian Kirk had 2 freak injuries. Besides that,
I'm not
he's younger.
At Houston. I think it was good value. I like the move.
Yesterday, you guys were like making fun of it. Like, why would you get a seven round pick?
All we said was
they're already going to let him go. But yeah. you guys said John Allen was Okay.
Hang on one second. All we said yesterday was it's always hilarious when a guy that everybody knows is going to get cut ends up getting traded for something. But if you listen,
But you knew John Allen was going to get traded. Like everyone knew John Allen was going to get cut, but we were talking about him getting traded like it was a realistic thing. Everyone knew Debo was going to get cut.
Just like it did yesterday with Christian Kirk. It absolutely can happen. It's not like it never happens. But this was always the most likely outcome because nobody was taking on his contract. I think most of us knew he wasn't getting traded or presumed that. But, yeah, if you could find a dance partner, if a desperate team who liked his tape said, we'll bring him in and extend him and give him a couple more years on his deal and spread out the money, certainly possible. We talked about both outcomes. Specific to, I guess he was saying the double talk of liking the Debo move at similar money, it's pretty simple to me. If they would have kept John Allen, I wouldn't have had a major issue. You just have a defensive tackle who can help you that you overpay on a one-year deal, not the end of the world. I think releasing him makes more sense because now you can then go spend more of this $16 million on other areas that help your ball club. But both are true. He's acting like it has to be one or the other. Are they releasing him because they drafted Johnny Newton and don't need John Allen as much or because of the financials? And my point is, yes. If he made $4 million, he'd be here. But also, he wouldn't be playing as much because you drafted Johnny Newton, who's good, to make sure he doesn't play as much as an eighth-year guy who's aging and injury-prone.
Now, we did a topic a while ago. Maybe you were out for this. I don't remember. But I said if I could keep one, I would actually keep Allen and try to move on from Daron Payne and at whatever value I could get. Who knows if they tried to do that or not? I mean, you know what I mean? We have no idea what the conversations were.
We have no idea if
there was any market for him or not. My bet is not really, right? So this is a lever kind of that you can pull. I don't like this. I would have loved to have kept John Allen. I don't know if I was clear about that. I'll say that. Just depends on what they do with it from here on out. I'm assuming they're going to.
So you would not have cut him.
Let me try to phrase this the right way. If they're going to spend how I'd like them to spend, then I probably would have had to. But if they're going to do what I'm suspicious of, which is maybe we've done our big moves and that's it, we're going to fill in around the edges, then I'm going, well, I'll overpay for a guy that's a veteran rather than not spend this money.
Yeah, you want that money so that you can go get better.
Yes.
You think there's a chance they roll a bunch of money over and don't need this.
Yes.
And if it works out that way, you'd rather have John Allen.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for summarizing.
For me, it's just simple. Is he worth $16.5 million at this point? No.
No.
And it's not that, by the way. That's what they're saving. He actually makes like $22.5 million. So I would rather have that money to re-spend now a year after drafting a defensive tackle in the second round who personally I think is going to be better this year than John Allen would have been in Johnny Newton. That's how good I think this kid can be. So I want to be really clear about that. I think this is good business. Every situation, every position is a little bit different. Going and getting Debo, who might be able to score 7 or 8 touchdowns on a one-year deal for that money, is worth it to me. A weapon added to Jaden Daniels. But yeah, this was not like a necessity that you had to cut John Allen. Because to your point, we're working from two different perspectives. What I'm hoping they do, which is spend close to up to the cap to try to go win as many games as they can this year, and then that $16 million really helps you. If they end up having, you know, $19 million in space when free agency is over or something, and then we sit here and say, would they be better off having $3 million in John Allen? Yeah, possibly. But let's see what they end up having available. Right now, you're in the mode of creating as much space as you can, and maybe today they trade for Trey Hendrickson, for all we know, and you just freed up $16 million of the money that you're going to give him. I'd sure as hell rather have him. So give yourself the options going into the market is kind of how I feel. We'll hit more calls, 800-636-1067. Your reactions to Bobby Wagner staying, John Allen leaving. If you want to talk about the Caps making a trade, we'll let you do that as well. Logan Paulson joins us in about 17 minutes to discuss Allen, Wagner, and the moves made in the early part of the offseason by the Commanders. Next.
I don't think I considered any other place because, you know, it wasn't time. You know, if we weren't able to get something towards free agency, I would have had to consider it. But this is where I wanted to be. This is who I wanted to play for. And so I didn't really think about anything else until it got to that time. And so we're fortunate it just didn't have to do that.
That's linebacker Bobby Wagner, who the Commanders have returned on a one-year deal. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Wagner's back. He'll be 35. John Allen is out. He was a starting D tackle. And this was the team that was bottom five in the NFL stop in the run last year. It was ugly at times. And the last 24 hours aren't necessarily progressive steps, I don't think, in improving that. So the question is, what's the plan there and how would you attack making sure you're more formidable against the run? JR's in Ballston. What's up?
Hey, I definitely like keeping Wagner because, one, he's intelligent, and that's why you're keeping him. Like the locker guy who can read what's going on and help adjust where these players are going. The run defense, obviously pitiful. And I know you earlier said there were some games they did well, and you rattled off some. Like, let's be honest, 70%, 80% of those games you talked about, we were up by two or three scores, or the team was up by two or three scores, and the teams were throwing the ball. And let's be honest, like, the run defense is not as simple as having defensive linemen. I think a lot of it has to do with the secondary was so bad, they just focused on stopping the pass and basically didn't help out stopping the run. There's holes all throughout the defense. Now, they've got some skilled players, but I still go back to, like, the defensive coordinator and, like, the coach. Dan Quinn brought a great, like, he's a huge part of what the Skins did. I mean, Commanders did last year and everything else. But, like, I still question the defensive schemes and whatnot. I'm hoping Wagner can help bring consistency from year to year as hopefully the defense does not be as bad as it was last year.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I think he was a plus, certainly, not a minus. When we're talking about a second-team All-Pro, I hope it's clear what I'm saying, which is really good football player still, does a lot of things well. I just think that his lateral speed is at a point where it will not be a strength for him to be the Mike linebacker that's getting outside to make those tackles at the line of scrimmage.
In baseball, we call it makeup speed. So like a guy that, you know, as an outfielder may not have the best routes or best jumps, but he's a track star, so he can go track the fly balls better than somebody that's very precise. He doesn't have that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he can't cover for mistakes of others.
We were just talking about John Allen, and Jay and DC called in and made an interesting point about, hey, why do they need the money if you guys are saying they're not going to spend it all? Well, that's our fear. We don't know that. They might go super aggressive and go opposite last year. They're off to that kind of start with the Deebo Samuel trade. But, I mean, freeing up the kind of money they did today, who knows? Maybe it is a precursor for getting serious about Trey Hendrickson.
Could be.
Let's go to Alex in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, Alex?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I'm all in. I love Wagner. I don't know why everybody's knocking on him about his age. Let me rephrase you guys. I'm old school. Number 28, Darryl Green. He played till, if I'm not wrong, till he was 40. And he was the fastest. So he kept his game up. This guy, I can't even, yeah, this, that, blah, 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 whatever you want to knock on him. One thing you can't take away from this guy is how smart he is, how motivated he is, how he can make people around him. Whatever he can't do, he'll have somebody else to motivate to do what he can't do.
Yeah, he's a winning player, and he's an elevator. That's why he's back. I mean, everybody around him will benefit from his presence. Let's go to Zach in Gainesville. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Big fan of you guys.
Appreciate you, dude.
Man, I just want to say, Jaden Daniels, dude, he's so good at extending plays. Everybody that we play next year is going to try and keep him on the sideline, and they're going to do that by running the football, right? So Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, honestly, man, they haven't been able to stop the run for years. Like, it's a huge problem. It's the most important thing that we need to address for our success next year. But Trey Hendrickson, man, he comes from the Bengals, who have also been awful against the run. But I just want to throw that out there. But Bobby Wagner being in here, man, I say you draft a defensive lineman, maybe two, and learn from Wagner while you have the chance. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Bengals
buddy.
Last year were 16th against the run, smack dab in the middle of the NFL. A ton better than Washington.
Yeah, better than you'd think, by the way, for a defense that was pretty horrendous. Yeah. I mean, to me, what this defense with the Quinn and Witt, what they thrive on, look at what they did in Dallas, is where's our havoc? Not enough havoc was created as often or as often as needed, especially against good teams and good offenses. They need more havoc wreakers on defense. Hendrickson would be one, for example, but a guy that can penetrate from that D-tackle spot. And if Newton grows into that, you've solved a huge amount of these issues.
We got tickets to the Summer of Loud tour we're giving away for the final time this week, a little over an hour from now at 4, so make sure you're listening. Cannot wait for the Logan Paulson breakdown on Wagner coming back, Allen being out. Trey Hendrickson is a possibility. He joins us next on Grant and Danny.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.